The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the word of God be on my mind, on my lips, and in my heart. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday morning, in my book club that's been going on here for, I don't know, about 7 years or so, we've been together, and I had my homily in mind, what I wanted to say today, and we started off the meeting, the person that started off the meeting started with a quote from Thomas Merton that seemed to say all that I wanted to say in this homily. And the quote is this: "At the center of our being is a point of nothingness, which is untouched by sin and illusion. A point of pure truth. A point or spark which belongs entirely to God." End quote. In current parlance, it's said that the human person is hardwired for God. And this phrase is often spoken as it were an act of daring. I think it's a way of denying secular assumptions that our humanity can be reduced to the physical, the social and psychological aspects of our being. There's more. There's a spiritual dimension that is ultimately grounded in God. And believing this is a first step beyond secularity, but is a step that leads to other steps in our lives, steps that are more complex and dangerous. You see, in the biblical tradition, the fact that people are hardwired for God means that there is a God drive that has to be respected in each and every person. However, there are also other drives that we have. We have physical drives for food, for drink, for air, for sex. We have social drives to be respected, to have nice clothes, to have a shelter, a home to live in, to be in control rather than being controlled, etc. Those are our social drives. Both our physical and social drives, they swirl about in a unique mental constellation. Our minds are unconscious or conscious levels, sorts out these drives and prioritizes them in our life. The problem is that we're not hardwired for God. That's not the problem. The problem is that we're hardwired for a lot of things everywhere. And it's difficult to find the right ordering. The basic human condition is the raw material for a wrong order called idolatry. We do not reserve the God drive for God. We attach it to money, to family, to social positions, or even food or sex. The problem is that, you know, we then ask these finite realities to do for us what only God can do for us. We ask them to give us ultimate meaning and worth in life. And the key word is ultimate. The goods of physical and social life are capable of giving us proximate worth and meaning in life. That is their allure, and they work well on that level. The problem is that we are more than that level. We're all orientated toward God. And if we do not consciously attend to that truth, we will attach that God drive onto other things that are not God. And we do it all the time. The moment we do that, and we do it consistently, these things begin to disappoint us. We don't find pleasure in them anymore, perhaps. They are proper for proximate allegiance, but they cannot bear the weight of ultimate commitment in our lives. St. Matthew writes in his gospel, you're all familiar with this quote, when he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. You see, the perishable world does not fill our hunger for the imperishable. But yet we try to. So in this text today, which is a very difficult text, I find, but in this text, Jesus insists that life will only flow properly if ultimate allegiance is given to him and to the revelation of God that is emerging in his life. This is the true home of the God drive, the anchoring that puts everything else into perspective. So the path to this grounding in God necessarily includes relativizing, I think, two of the most powerful usurpers of the God drive in our life, and that is family relationships and social standing. We value family and social positions so much that we're tempted to give them ultimate status in our lives, not God. We must see through this temptation to make these gods and at the same time give them their due importance. On their own level, they're fine. But when they compete for the God drive in our lives, they have to be put into their place. And that's not, this secondary and subordinate place is not a put down at all. Jesus wasn't putting down family and friends, brothers and mothers and sisters and spouse. He wasn't doing that. When family and society are not distorted by the imposition of the God drive, they can be what they are. They are the arenas where our spiritual identity is played out. In love and in justice, and in acts of forgiveness and kindness. So the father, mother, son, daughter, and spouse are not pulled into an ultimate void and asked to fill it. No, the many mechanisms of society are not desired and grasped as attempts to secure enduring importance and worth, but rather they are the places where, if one is rooted in God, expresses this relationship in one's life by acting compassionately and justly. And then things fall into place in life, and the life in God in us begins to flow rightly in our lives. And when the life of God flows rightly in us, it also flows rightly through us. My brothers and sisters, our ultimate commitment in our lives has to be to God and to Jesus in the revelation that he gives us. And we have to refuse to make family and society ultimate. And that's not easy to do. But if you do it, you will find that you will be blessed with a rich spiritual life, knowing that you are God's beloved, that God is always with you, God is in you, and God acts through you. God acts through you. How else is God's love going to be made flesh in the world? How else is Jesus' mission going to continue, if not but you?